Great to see everybody this morning and to take up our theme, Rising Higher, Going Deeper. That sounds good. However, who does this? Can the person part of us really take steps to elevate our spiritual station in life? So let's proceed cautiously. That said, there's nothing wrong with aspiring to be real, free, to be natural. Ernest Holmes said that spirituality is natural goodness, and that all that is natural is spiritual. What if spiritual growth is just simply becoming natural? Coming back to our natural self. That's what I'd like to talk about. And the two great paths for coming back to our natural self. And for a primer on that, we could do no better than to turn to the great Hindu sage from the last century, Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. Nisargadatta actually means the natural way. So you could say he's the sage of the path of being natural. Maharaji, here he is. He was an uneducated shopkeeper in Bombay who followed his teacher's instruction to stay with the feeling I am, no matter what arises or happens. And in a relatively short period of time, he woke up to a unity consciousness. And people came from all over the world to the little room above his cigarette shop to hear him expound with penetrating insight and biting humor on the non-dual understanding. And those dialogues were compiled into this book, I Am That. Those of you interested in I Am studies might find Nisargadatta quite interesting. Maharaji, as he's also called, declared, "Wisdom tells me I am nothing. Love tells me I am everything. Between the two, my life flows." So in that one saying, we see two great paths merging, the path of exclusion or wisdom and the path of inclusion or love. You know, both of these paths are found in all of the spiritual traditions. Many millions of people before us have walked them, and they go together. Murshid Samuel Lewis said that the Sufi path is two parts bhakti, or love, and one part jnana, or wisdom, inquiry. So let's explore these two paths and see if they really are different. Let's start with wisdom tells me I am nothing. This is the path of knowledge by subtraction, or the via negativa. Realizing this truth is the culmination of jnana yoga for the Hindus. Jesus spoke of this truth many times in parables, and when he taught, the first shall be last, and the last first. Buddhism teaches all things are not self. So all authentic spirituality has effacement of the ego as a central tenet. Effacement of the ego. The separate self is imaginary only, yet carries burdens of the past, woundings, trauma, history, all of which present as a person with attachments, aversions, and ignorance. The separate self then tries to get rid of itself because it remembers the peace and happiness of the real self as a kind of echo or memory. Our natural self, on the other hand, the natural way, is not dependent at all on the past, the known, an image, or an ideal. It is not found in the world. It is ever present as the witnessing knowing at the core of every experience. This is the ultimate irony, the crux of the spiritual path, that we are already what we seek, but we're identified with what we are not. So that brings suffering. So let's listen to Sri Nisargadatta on this. The seeker is he who is in search of himself. Give up all your questions except one. Who am I? After all, the only fact you're sure of is that you are. The I am is certain. The I am this is not. Struggle to find out what you are in reality. To know what you are, you must investigate and know what you are not. Discover all that you are not: body, feelings, thoughts, time, space, this or that, nothing concrete or abstract which you perceive can you be. The very act of perceiving shows that you are not what you perceive. Wow, you ever heard that before? So we're starting to get into some interesting territory here. To find out what you are not is the path of subtraction. It's neti neti, not this, not that. So let's practice. For a moment, let's just relax attention on anything not essential to us. Thoughts, feelings, sensations, perceptions, all of which come and go. So anything that comes and goes. You're still there, a placeless, open field of awareness. Just notice awareness right now and see if there's any boundary or edge to it. Awareness is like the space in this room, which is unaffected by anything that ever happens in here, including talks by me. But if we remove the walls and the ceiling, does anything happen to the space? No, because the space was already contiguous with the rest of the space in the universe. So by resting in the context of awareness, we begin to recognize what we are as silent, calm, impersonal, vast, and not subject to the limitations we usually believe ourselves to have. Now hold your index finger in front of you. Let's let this represent a difficult emotion. And let's bring it closer and closer to your eyes until you reach your face. So finally, when you reach your face, you can't see it anymore. This is how it is with everything we know. At our core is a void, which we can never know because it is too close to us. We are essentially pure knowing, and everything else is the known. Everything else. Hazrat Inayat Khan taught this when he said, "The soul sees all, but cannot see itself. This proves that it's the real self." So here's how Maharaji spoke about how to unpack what we are not. By being with yourself, the I am, by watching yourself in your daily life, with alert interest, with the intention to understand rather than to judge, in full acceptance of whatever may emerge, because it is there, you encourage the deep to come to the surface and enrich your life and consciousness with its captive energies. This is the great work of awareness. It removes obstacles and releases energies by understanding the nature of life and mind. Intelligence is the door to freedom, and alert attention is the mother of intelligence. How about that? So he says, inquiry is reaching ever more deeply into the solidified impressions in memory and in the body. For instance, right now, just notice your body. Look behind your heart or down in the perineum below your pelvis and just notice. These areas can contain fear, pain, disturbance that we have saved for later. Clearing out the basement, as it were, means welcoming this content with alert presence. This presence, the real you, can wrap around anything that arises with compassion and curiosity, allowing it to release its secrets and return to its natural state. The key is knowing yourself as core intelligence or nothing rather than somebody who's trying to change something. Take it from me. This is what Maharaji means by intelligence is the door to freedom, not you as an active agent in your life. Intelligence is the door to freedom, and alert attention is the mother of intelligence. So that's rising higher on the path of subtraction. What does going deeper mean in the context of bhakti, the path of inclusion or love? Turning to Sri Nisargadatta again, life is love and love is life. What keeps the body together but love? What is desire but love of the self? What is fear but the urge to protect? And what is knowledge but the love of truth? The means and forms may be wrong, but the motive behind is always love. Love of the me and the mind. The me and the mind may be small or may explode and embrace the universe, but love remains. So he's saying, love is always longing, moving, acting within us, acting everywhere. Even someone who commits a crime is actually trying in a misguided way to find love and be happy. If we make the effort to look underneath what Maharaji calls the means and forms which may be wrong, all we find is love, which means no separation. And so love tells me I am everything. This is attaining the truth in the path of love. So on the path of subtraction, then, we turn our innate compassion toward everything arising within us. On the path of love, we turn that compassionate gaze around toward the apparent world. We recognize our unity with it. The path of love shows everything is one, made of one substance, which is loving intelligence. And then Maharaji says, between the two, my life flows. That's being our natural self. What does it mean to be natural? Our natural self, aware presence, is calm, compassionate, and doesn't mind what happens. Our natural self is resilient. We may feel intense emotions like grief or anger from time to time, but we're like the Dalai Lama who says, "I feel everything you do, just not for very long." The Dalai Lama has made the investigation of himself and knows that his real self is always free of the apparent circumstances of life. He's also very much a human being with the quirks that go with that. For instance, he collects watches. Isn't that interesting? Our real self is self-illumined and the source of uncaused happiness, peace, and love. And for the real self, emotions and sensations are not foes to be overcome. They assume an honored role in our inner family of selves. The meditation teacher Eknathis Warren described being natural when thoughts, feelings, and sensations become trusted advisors over which you preside. So to sum up, the path of subtraction reveals that we are nothing or no thing. This is wisdom, as opposed to the ignorance of seeking our identity in objects, thoughts, images, or beliefs. And the path of love recognizes that we are everything, everything being love coming home to itself. So going just a little bit further, here is kind of the same thing with some insights from the sage Rupert Spira on the culmination of these two paths. The summation of the path of subtraction reveals what we are, we can never know with the mind, because of that void at our very center. Said another way, what we know with the mind, we can never be. If you're like me, these are statements that we need time to sit with, contemplate, and take in. Maharaji says this, "The clearer you understand that on the level of mind you can be described in negative terms only, the quicker you will come to the end of your search and realize you are the limitless being." And the summation of the path of love reveals that wherever we look, there is only the face of God. Everything arises from and is an expression of the same source. It is differentiation without difference, and it is love coming home to itself. So what we eternally are does not change. And that which comes and goes was never real. And this brings us to a final understanding that makes living life really cool and being natural even easier, realizing the illusion of death. And here's Maharaji one last time. The real does not die. The unreal never lived. Once you know that death happens to the body and not to you, you just watch your body falling off like a discarded garment. The real you is timeless and beyond birth and death. The body will survive as long as it is needed. It is not important that it should live long. So our real self has a different destiny than the body or the mind. On the path of subtraction and the path of love, they both converge just before the top of the mountain. The the knower and the known become sifted out from one another. All there is the everything and the nothing. The knowing, or the known and the knowing, Shiva and Shakti. One translation of Allah is the everything and the nothing. So between those two, our lives flow in that absolute ultimate. That's an endless flow. There's no end to life, to love, to emptiness, to experience. So if you can, just relax back into that. Coming to rest here, we may recognize that the path is perceptual only and not actual. Being on a path to higher and deeper is a construct believed in a finite mind only. And there actually is no one or no thing making such a journey. But perhaps that's a subject for another day. Rising higher, going deeper, could start as a simple aspiration to be authentic and end in a revolution of being in how we live. Inwardly, stay with the sense I am. Remember Rumi, my home is placeless, a trace of the traceless. Keep allowing your penetrating heart intelligence to gently wrap around and meet everything that arises, realizing that you as awareness are always already free of the known. Then turn that compassionate gaze outward and meet everything and everyone in the world as a face of the One. See that love. See that love is moving everywhere, even in what seem to be dark circumstances. Knowingly be that unknown I that is intimate with everything arising in you and the world, which is also arising in you. Be that deathless spirit, and you will find true happiness in your natural self, flowing between the everything and the nothing. Thank you.